Corona City Chronicles, life in New York and New Jersey, the nation's first COVID-19 epicenter, during the four terrifying months of March through to June 2020. Our first guest today is going to be telling us about her book, which includes short writings which lay bare the challenges, fears, losses and triumphs of real people in their own words. She joins us now. Welcome to the show, Lorraine Ash.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Great to have you on. Thank you for getting up early. It must be quite early where you are.
It is.
Have you got lots of coffee?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Excellent. Well, I know you're going to tell us about some excerpts from about half a dozen of the stories you have in your book, but one of them is your own story. And I wondered if you'd like to start with that.
Yes, Selena, it's something I called Lost and Found and Lost. And I have a short excerpt from it here from May 2020. The long hand of COVID-19 snatched Barbara from our family. Barbara, one life of 8,952 lost as of May 2020, according to the latest death chart. Barbara, who I found after untangling reams of genealogical records and crossing a desert of family estrangement. Barbara, who I was never supposed to meet. In 2015, I called her husband, Gene, my cousin, and introduced myself. We decided to meet some weeks later at an Atlanta Bread on a highway. Barbara came to support him that day, standing by his side, pretty as a picture, with short blonde hair and a red outfit. She extended her hand. We all sat in a booth where she listened to us trade more than a century of stories and pictures. We filled in the blanks for each other. "You must come to the house," she said. "We'll have lunch." And so we did. At age 56, for the first time, I set foot in a home from that side of the family. Just walking over the threshold felt magical and right. And just as Barbara was to end a successful treatment program in a rehab facility, the virus came. Having no mercy for the weak, it killed her quickly. We'd had no past. It took our future.
Oh, dear. I can understand why you called that Lost and Found and then lost again. How sad.
Yes.
Very sad. And of course, you know, this was your cousin's wife. So she was poorly anyway. She'd been going through something, had she, before the virus took on?
Yes, she had a very successful operation. And she was just in rehab for a, you know, customary, supposed to be easy rehab before she went home.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can resonate with these stories. It certainly was something that none of us anticipated and hopefully will never go through again. So do you want to read us another excerpt then?
I do. This is from a piece called Suddenly Sick by Laura Carrier, who was working as a nurse in a Brooklyn hospital. She found that she got the virus. So this is from March 29th. At 12 a.m., I arrive at the Bronx hospital, gasping for air, only to be told my ICU bed was given away. I am then put on a newly renovated geriatric psych unit that hasn't even had patients yet. I am put in a room with no oxygen attached to the wall, just a completely bare room, not even a trash can. They are trying to find a large oxygen tank for me as I keep running out. This is not an ICU unit, and this is the first time I feel I may die. I don't sleep. My fever spikes again. I cough up red blood. They are not feeding me by 9 a.m., and I last ate on Friday, March 27th. I just want cold water. I ask for some. It comes 2 hours later. Someone in full PPE comes into my room and steals my oxygen tank. I am gasping for air for 5 to 10 minutes. They bring it back. It happens again for more than 10 minutes. I am trying to yell that I can't breathe, but no one can hear me in an isolation room with no call button. I am choking. I know I will die tonight if I am not moved off this floor immediately. At 7 p.m., I start to choke on blood. I feel my lungs shutting down as well as my kidneys, my whole body. I press and press the newly made call button. No one comes for over an hour. I know a normal adult's O2 saturation levels should be 98 to 100%. Mine are now at 86% while on oxygen, then drop to 80. They call the ICU. I'm rushed down and put in a glass isolation room with all of the ICU physicians and nurses crowded around me. The doctor says he needs to intubate me immediately. I say no. I was the sole survivor of the ICU on the night of March 29th. The other five patients who were intubated before me died. They changed their intubate immediately policy.
Wow, thank goodness that person survived. I mean, it's awful. I can't imagine. It really is shocking. But we all know that it was such a crazy time. The nurses and doctors were just so busy, weren't they?
Yes, and this was after the nurse was taken from one hospital to another looking for a bed, looking for a place to be.
Wow. Wow. And how did you get these stories? Did you put it out there that you wanted stories from all these coronavirus survivors?
Well, I teach memoir at a place called the Mariandale Center on the Hudson River in Ossining, New York, and they had to shut down. So they called for a writing teacher to come and teach something online to bring writers and people together online to create some community. Everybody was isolated. So I created a course called COVID-19 Diaries, Writing in the Age of Pandemic. The writers started producing stuff and they started reading them and realized the power of the story. In the group was a friend of mine who is also a publisher. And she said, Lorraine, let's do a book. So we did. And it just kept going.
Yes.
And I took the 6 degrees of separation idea from the people in the group. And then since I'm a journalist, I did lots of cold calls because I wanted to get people from all walks of life.
Yes, I'm sure. It is important that we keep a record. I mean, I personally kept a diary from day one, you know, when it happened here in Spain and the cases going up and, you know, the time changes and everything. But it's important, I think, the way you've done it, because you've got the voices of real people.
Yes. Yes. This is a grassroots history. You know, it's not sanitized. It's not politicized. It's just the way it was.
Can you give us one more then, Lorraine?
Yes. Talking about diary, I have one from Karen Phelps here. The days the world changed. Thursday, April 9, 2020. My sister Mayona sent me two handmade cotton masks, one a tie, the other with elastic. Elastic is impossible to get now because so many people are making masks. Mayona had made more than 150 masks for her large posse of friends. One woman requested that Mayona not make her mask from orange or yellow fabric because she doesn't look good in those colors. Talk about screwed up priorities. My friend Jean didn't have a mask. I asked my sister to send her one. She did. Jean later mailed her money. Am I living through a sci-fi novel or a Twilight Zone episode? Thursday, May 14th, shocking news. On May 4th, Stacy died from COVID-19. She and I participated in the same Friday writing critique group for several years. As a playwright, she often brought copies of short plays for us to read out loud. At any time Stacy commented on my writing, I took notes. Her comments were always on point. Stacy, who left behind a husband and teenage twins, is the first person I know who died from COVID-19. Today, I cried. For me, the virus now has a face and a name.
Wow. This is obviously, these are all people from New Jersey and New York. Do you have any photos that shows what the city was like during that time?
Yes, we had, I was able to locate 18 photographers who were out and about shooting the desolate streets of New York. And New Jersey, I mean, the Jersey Shore, no one on the beach. I mean, it was really eerie. But the photographers had nothing to do. And they, you know, their impulse, their reason for being is to chronicle. So they went out and they were chronicling anyway, just to our benefit.
Incredible. Well, there's obviously so many more stories of real people in the book, which is called Corona City, Voices from an Epicenter. I believe it's an Audible book. Is that correct, Lorraine?
As well, yes. It is an Audible book. It actually won 2 awards, the audiobook. Yes.
Well done. Well done. And if people want to find out about more about you and your writing, do you have a website at all?
I do. LorraineAsh.com.
Simple as that. LorraineAsh.com. Well, it's been great to chat to you. Go and get yourself more coffee now. And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.